lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
Broadcasting from Huntington Beach, yeah, California, and New York City, coast to coast. A big welcome from the Big Apple and from L.A. to all our listeners out there in Radioland. I am Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you on the Caregiver Dave Radio Show, live from the syndicated All Positive Talk Radio, HealthyLife.net, broadcasting in all 50 states and 135 countries with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg from thecaregiverspace.org. And just a reminder that all our shows are available on demand at HealthyLife.net and our membership website, CaregiverDave.com, voted number 2 podcast of the top 6 caregiver podcasts by Caring.com and a bunch of others. And if you go right now to CaregiverDave.com, our free burnout quiz, as well as my first book about overcoming unbelievable hardships, are absolutely free. All you have to do is just click that re-gift button. And we have an exciting show planned for you today, don't we, Adrian?
We do.
If she says it, it's true. Today we'll be interviewing Steve Seiler. Steve uses songs to help encourage and comfort caregivers. Isn't that a comforting thought? And he's a founder and director of Music for the Soul, a faith-based organization that uses songs and stories to help people find healing and wholeness. Steve is a Dove Award-winning songwriter who has had over 500 of his songs recorded by other artists, I assume, as well as yourself. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank my last week's guest, Mona Lisa Johnson, and her story of how she went to jail for 60 days undercover because of her daughter. That's a great, great story. And you can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews on HealthyLife.net or on our membership website, CaregiverDave.com. All right, enough of that. Steve, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's great to be with you guys.
Yeah, finally. And I'd like to ask my guests to take a minute or two and just tell us, who is Steve Seiler and why was he put on this earth?
Well, I think I was put on this earth to share the hope and compassion of Christ with people going through the world's most difficult challenges. And caregiving is certainly one of those. I am fortunate enough to be the son of a father who caregave for my mom for the last 15 years of her life. And now I have the privilege of caregiving for him. He doesn't live with me. Thankfully he's still in his own home. But he does have Alzheimer's and it is progressing. And so, there are a lot of things that we need to do to keep him in that home for as long as we can, where everything is familiar. Had a long career as a songwriter, and naturally I would think that sharing about caregiving through song is a great way to encourage and comfort caregivers, so I'm really delighted to be with you today.
So, Steve, tell me, what is Music for the Soul, and how did it come about?
Music for the Soul came about, I was pursuing a career as a pop songwriter. I was going to, write the next great big hit. And I had my first hit on the radio, and when I heard it, I didn't feel anything inside. I didn't feel any of the things I thought I was supposed to feel after putting all that time and energy in. And I went into our church in the middle of the night, and I was like, God, I believe you gave me this gift of music for a reason. And I don't think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, in less than 10 days, I got a phone call from a total stranger who had visited our church on a Sunday when I happened to be playing one of my songs. This guy called me up. He was starring in Les Miserables at the Schubert Theater in Los Angeles. And he said, I've just licensed a book about childhood sexual abuse, and I want to do a stage play on this issue, and I want it to have songs. I want it to be a musical. And I think you're the guy who's supposed to write them.
Ooh.
And I kind of looked down at the phone and was like, wow, that's really specific. But I thought, I'm gonna meet with this guy. And as soon as I met with him and saw the picture of the eyes of the little girl on the cover, I said, I don't know why you think I can do this, but I'm in. If you think I'm the guy, I want to try. And wound up doing that stage play, writing the songs. We toured the Los Angeles area for 3 years, in public schools, in theaters, churches, all over the place. And it was in the process of doing that work that I had somebody tell me, people have been telling me I was an innocent child my whole life, but I never believed it until you sang it today.
Wow.
When I heard that from that person, I thought, wait a minute, I'm supposed to do something about that. And so Music for the Soul is me doing something about that on a whole host of issues that cause pain, because I think when people hear a song, they know they're not alone. And that's what we all need to know, that if we're carrying a burden, others understand and have been through it. And so that's how it got started.
Yeah, and I need to explain how I met Steve, Adrian. We have a common friend, Lynn Barrington, who I met in Nashville because she sold me some income property, and she's also goes way back in the music industry, you know, when she was one of the first women working in for where did she work? I forget, but she was one of the first ones just, you know, hooking up recording artists with writers, because a lot of artists can't write and a lot of writers can't sing. And so it was a match made in heaven. So Lynn calls me up and she says, oh, my God, you've got to meet this guy, Steve Seiler. I says, why? He says, I don't know. He just has anointed music, and he sings to the hurts and the needs of caregivers and other people of disability, and so we met and we instantly connected, and we thought about you know, perhaps changing the intro to my show, and he gave me a list of songs. I listened to all of them, and there was one song that I really, really liked. What's it called again, Steve?
Keep Breathing, I think, is the one you're talking about.
Yeah, Breathe.
And so I'm excited to have that on
soon
as he gets that finished, because, you know, he has to go to a recording studio and doing this. And, you know, there's no rush, there's no hurry, so it's at his leisure and his time. But, yeah, his music, once you hear it, will just it just speaks to the soul. I guess that's why he came up with that name.
Yeah.
So, how did you come to create a project specifically for caregivers? Because nobody is doing that. Nobody is doing anything for caregivers, you know.
Yeah.
But to have a songwriter as talented as you say, you know, well, obviously, you know, because you're caring for your father, but it had to be more than that to say, you know, I want to do this whole thing for caregivers.
Well, actually, it was a very interesting thing that happened. One of my board members who came on board for a completely different project, but then it turned out that she was caregiving for three family members in her home at the same time.
Mm.
She was caring for both of her parents and I believe it was her husband's father in their home all at the same time.
Three at the same time. Gee, Adrian, that never happens, does it?
Got me beat. I had two.
And oh, my gosh, the stories that she would tell. And it was just, and then we started talking about, she had written a book for caregivers. And we started talking about the need and kind of what you say that, you know, that just said that there is not enough support, not enough resources. And she said, boy, it would be great if Music for the Soul could do a project just for caregivers. And I said, well, if you'll be the chief consultant, we'll get started. And so that's how it began. And of course, my father was caregiving at the time for my mom. So I was seeing it on a regular basis. And that's how the project got started. And I wound up, combining, you know, personal stories, poetry, and interviews with songs, and in the process tried to create an arc where we start and talk about the lack of dignity that the person who needs care can often feel, and then just moving through the different phases of the caregiving process, the different perspectives, you know, something for home caregivers, something for people who are caring from a distance, something from people who have hired a professional. Oh, just trying to come at it, you know, a child caring for a parent, spouse caring for each other, that sort of thing. So that we try to cover as many aspects of the caregiving experience as we could.
Yeah, well, this may sound like a silly question, but why do you think that music touches people so much more effectively than any other medium that I can think of?
Well, there are two. It's actually not a silly question. It's my favorite question, so thank you for asking. I didn't know this, and this is what's fascinating. When I started the ministry, I did not know this information. I started the organization because anecdotally, I'd heard the stories of the power of music, and I'd seen it in my own life. But what I know now, after having done the research and done a lot of reading and talked to a lot of smart people, the brain science actually backs this up. we process language primarily in the left hemisphere of our brain. So when I'm talking to you, that's where you're understanding what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We process melody primarily in the right hemisphere of our brain. So the interesting thing about that is melody is where we process trauma. So the things that hurt us, the things that are difficult, melody goes straight to that place. It moves at the speed of sound, obviously, and immediately can get right to the heart before we even have a chance to put up our defenses. But when you combine a lyric with the music, now you have the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere, so you have what I refer to as an all skate. The entire brain is engaged. Then when you add the melody piece is also a memory device. People remember 9 times more what they hear in song than what they're told. So if I want you to remember something about being a caregiver, if I sing it to you, there's a much better chance that you're going to remember that than if I just tell you. And there's also a chance that you'll actually be able to receive it because it's going to that different place. It's going straight to the heart rather than into your head where you, into your head where you can deny it and say, oh no, not me. It's, you know, I'm not worthy or whatever people think, you know. So that's the thing about music is it actually bypasses all of that.
Well, that's why I want to figure out why do I lose my keys and my phone? I can't remember what I ate yesterday and all these terrible memory lapses. But this song can come on when I was 8 years old and I know the words to it. I can sing it.
Every word.
I know where I was when it was playing and you know, and it's just made a connection. And then I also think about, you know how they say music calms the savage beast. Even in the Jewish Bible, it talks about you know, King Saul who wasn't obeying God, and so this spirit came upon him, this evil spirit, and he was tormented. And the only way that they could calm him down was to bring in young shepherd boy David to play his harp, and all of a sudden the demons went away. You know.
Well, yes, obviously music is comforting, and when you put the right lyrics with it, it can also be encouraging and inspirational. But something I wanted to make sure and remember to tell you, as you were just speaking, it reminded me, I went to a presentation for caregivers at a local, it wasn't a nursing home, but it was a memory care facility.
Senior center, okay.
Yeah, and the lady was talking to us about what leaves the brain first when you're talking about dementia and Alzheimer's. And she actually had it all on a chalkboard, and she had an eraser. Yeah. And so she went to the board, and she goes, okay, the first thing that goes, and she's erasing stuff, right?
That's powerful.
The last thing she erased was music. That's what people hold on to the longest. And I was reminded of a time when I was playing at a nursing home, and they rolled in this lady, and she wasn't speaking at all. And they said, you know, she'd be an opera singer. And she was just catatonic. She was just sitting there staring off into space. I sat down at the piano and started playing, and that woman opened up her mouth and was an opera singer again. So it's incredible what music can do.
Yeah, and it's a lesson to those who run these facilities that, you know, you go into many nursing homes and they're just, the wheelchairs are lined up in the aisles and they're just staring at the walls and I'll say, well, what is that? Oh, no, that one doesn't, you know, lights are on, but nobody's home. But try some music. Try putting headphones on these people.
Yes.
And you will see them come to life, a personality.
Yes.
And so that determines a good nursing home and a bad nursing home. And 9 out of 10 of them are bad. You know, it's like you got to find that needle in the haystack. Many of them I wouldn't put my cat in. You want the ones that are not just putting people in the hallway so that they can, you know, just have freedom to do whatever, but they're interacting with them. They're coloring, they're singing, they got headphones on and so on. So, yeah, I thoroughly agree. Thank you for telling me the science because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know that, Adrian?
No.
See,
I learned
and most people don't.
There's a couple of old dogs learning new tricks.
I know that when I was growing up, I knew the lyrics to everything. You know, every song, and I still do. I'm known for it. And I always said if they put my school curriculum to music, I would remember.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we sing the ABCs to our kids, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. And when I want to know what letter comes after the other, you know, like in the middle, I've got to sing that stupid song. Adrian, I didn't know you. Next time I'm in New York, Adrian, you and I are going karaoke. That'll be fun.
I can't sing anymore.
Oh, sure you can. What were you going to say, Steve?
Oh, no, I was going to say that the other thing that you'll notice is at Christmas time, if you visit a nursing home and start singing Christmas carols, everybody will light up. They remember all the words. So it's anytime you can incorporate music into an environment like that, you're doing something really positive.
Yeah, and I've seen nursing homes actually bring children's choirs in. And, you combine music with children, and you've got something powerful.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So what are some things you've learned about caregiving in the process of making the project? I mean, because you already knew about certain things because you're a caregiver. Mm-hmm. You're one of us. Mm-hmm. But what else did you learn besides all of that?
Well, I think one of the first things that I learned was how important a sense of humor is.
Amen.
There are going to be things that happen in the caregiving process that are just unbelievable. It's like you feel like if you tell this story, nobody will believe you. But giving yourself permission to laugh at the absurdity of some of the things, some of the situations you find yourself in, or some of the things you find yourself having to do, I think can help lighten the burden a little bit just for a moment. And especially if you're meeting with other caregivers and sharing, swapping stories. I've had some real belly laughs with other caregivers as we share some of our more difficult moments. I think the other thing, and this, I don't know why I wouldn't have automatically known this, but I think one of the first things I learned was that there's heroism in caregiving, and it's not put on the cape, superhero kind of heroism. I feel like what's heroic is that they show up. Is that these people I talked to and interviewed, it was their consistency. It was their faithfulness to the process. It was their willingness to be selfless day after day after day that was so humbling to witness and so inspiring to hear about, and that I honestly find myself struggling to attain.
Yeah, and they don't want attention for it. They don't want you to you know, fuss over them and introduce them in a crowd of people, give an award to them. They're very uncomfortable with that. They're just behind the scenes, just let me do my thing. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, 30% of caregivers actually die before their loved ones do because, you know, they sit there and they suffer in their stress silently. It's like, what do they say, high blood pressure is the silent killer. Well, you know, caregiving is the silent killer also.
And my hope
that's a lot.
My hope would be that, and I've heard from a lot of caregivers about what the music does for them. My hope would be that's what the Dignity Project does for people is allows them to let go of some of that stress, to feel their burdens lift away as they listen and as they're hopefully encouraged and comforted, and even though they may not want the public recognition, in that moment can feel seen and heard and understood.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going right for the jugular vein of the problem. It's stress. And if you can relieve the stress, even subconsciously, they don't even realize you're relieving the stress because they're just, they're starting to breathe again and they're starting to, think again. Yes, Adrian.
I have this sense that when they get a feeling of acknowledgement, it's so important. Because they know they're not going to get it from the person that they're caring for most of the time. Mm-hmm. So when someone else acknowledges what you're doing is so marvelous, you know, like they might be very humble about it and everything else, but they do like hearing it because everybody will ask, how's the patient? And not recognize the caregiver. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, listen, I think we're up on a break, so why don't we take a break and we will be right back.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
And we're back with Steve Seiler and my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg. I'm Dave Nassani. We're on the Caregiver Dave Show. And we're just talking about Steve, who's an amazing songwriter and now is a caregiver. And he put the two together, and he's just doing an amazing project called Music for the Soul. And so let's continue this conversation. Can you give us a few examples of the kind of responses that you've had from people about the project?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that this morning. There's the consistent response from people is that you know, I felt like nobody understood, but then I heard the songs and now I do. But my favorites are a little bit more unusual than that. One lady had been caregiving for her daughter for several years, passed away in her 30s, and it had been 4 or 5 years since her daughter had passed away when she heard a song on our project called "I'm Gonna Lose You." And she said after she heard that song, she said, it allowed me to not feel guilty anymore. I did the best I could. I did everything I knew how to do, and I lost her anyway. And she said that song gave me permission to forgive myself and to not take the blame and to just get out from under all of that shame and guilt that I felt. So that was a huge one for me to hear
from
her. Another one was from a lady who was caring for her husband, and he was pretty much in a vegetative state. And she said that having the songs was like having a support group in her living room. She didn't have to go anywhere or be with anybody else. She could just sit and drink them in and feel like she was surrounded by love and support. So that was great. And then there was one gentleman who was doing a talk for a group of caregivers who were caregiving for people who were severely disabled. And they were gathered in like a office building conference room or something. And he said at the end of his talk, he wanted to do something that he thought would be more impactful. So he played our song Dignity, which is the first song on the Dignity project. And he said around the room, he started to hear the sniffling and he said when the song ended, the caregivers and the care receivers were embracing and silently holding one another, and there was just this long period where all you could hear was the sniffling and the whispering. He was so moved, and when he shared that with me, I mean, I just, you know, talk about a moment when you wish you could have been a fly on the wall. But I mean, I just really loved to hear that.
Yeah, well, you obviously heard from God, because this is a God thing, and it's doing things that nothing and nobody else that I know of is doing and accomplishing. Are there any songs in particular that are, you know, personal? Can you tell us some of the stories behind those songs?
Oh, yeah. There are two that are particularly personal. One is called "We've Never Done This Dance Before." My parents cut the rug. Every party, they were the first ones up and never sat down, and they were good. They were really good dancers. Like they'd been to some school or something, you know? Not those movies in the 40s, I don't know. But anyway, when my mom, you know, got to the point where she couldn't move around much, naturally they didn't do any more dancing. And there was a lady who had written a poem called Dancing that we did include on the project, and she compares taking her mother to the toilet as being a dance. and so I thought, well, there's a dance that we've never, you know, they've never done before. And I literally, with this song, this was the first time this had ever happened. I woke up, and the lyric and the melody to "We've Never Done This Dance Before" was playing in my head. Literally. Playing in my head. I woke up and went straight to the piano.
For the first time.
It didn't exist before that. Right, right. And so that song is obviously a tribute to my parents.
Is that how you normally get your songs that you write? They just kind of pop into your
head? No, not at all. That's what was so extraordinary about it. And I truly felt like it was a gift from God for me and my parents. And I was able to play that for my mom before she passed. So obviously that was a great, great gift to me. And I really need to give my wife some credit here, too, because when you asked why we did the Dignity Project, I remembered, as I was sharing about we've never done this dance before, when I was trying to decide what Music for the Soul should do next, my wife actually said, I really think you should consider focusing on the caregiving project. So her, you know, the woman behind the man, she's not even behind the man. Not in front of the man and smarter than the man and all that. But she was very, very encouraging and in favor of the Dignity Project. The other song that's really personal is the one I referenced before, I'm Gonna Lose You. Because I realized when I was working on the project, I asked Shelley, the consultant, I said, it seems like with most things, when you work really, really hard at something, there's a goal. There's an end reward right. for all your effort. I said, it occurs to me that the effort and reward here, the reward is that the person you love is going to die. What kind of reward is that? And she said, absolutely, and you need to write that song. And, of course, I was watching my dad care for my mom, and I knew he's doing an amazing job, and she's going to pass anyway. And so I'm Going to Lose You is my song that I wrote to my mom, you know, from my dad. Go ahead.
Wow. From the minute my husband was diagnosed with cancer, I knew that. That's exactly what was constantly running through my head. I'm going to lose you. But for me, the payoff, the goal was that when he passed, I was there. And he was listening to a song that I wanted him to hear, as a matter of fact. I was thinking, wow. What can I do for him that'll make him feel better? Because he was really struggling at that moment. And I put my iPhone on his pillow. And he passed while the song was on. My hand was on his chest. And the payoff, as I said, was I did everything I could to make his passing peaceful and make his illness, you know, as comfortable as possible. Yes. So I had no regrets, and having no regrets is a big payoff.
That, it is. Yeah. That's so beautiful what you shared.
You know, I would like to play those two songs sometime during the show, so maybe during the next break you can get them over to me, and while I'm still recording I can somehow get them on. Anyway, let's take another break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Inspiration and motivation is just a podcast away at hrnradio.com.
And we're back with Steve Seiler, my guest, Adrian Gruberg, my co-host. I'm Dave Nassani. You're on the Caregiver Dave Show, and we're talking about a wonderful project, Music for the Soul, that Steve has come up with, and it's a godly thing. So let's go on with our questions. We're going to share at the end of this some of the songs that he just spoke about so that you too can enjoy them and be amazed and mesmerized by them as well, and then we'll tell you how you can get them yourself. So what kind of spoken word pieces do you incorporate on the recordings? I was listening to some of your stuff, and some of them aren't songs. They're just kind of this calm voice saying a bunch of wise things with some cool stuff in the background. Explain that.
Well, on this project, we have a couple of pieces of poetry. We have people that have written out their stories and shared their stories. There's one story in particular about a young man whose grandmother had Alzheimer's that is just the most beautiful. I mean, it'll break your heart, but with the story and then the song that he actually helped co-write with me, it's just a beautiful moment. And then we also have done some interviews where we sit down with people who have done caregiving from a specific perspective to ask questions about what that experience is like. So our process is that the songs and the spoken word pieces alternate, so they kind of set each other up or follow each other up, so that there's a continuity to the project in whole. You know, I wanted to make it possible to listen to the whole thing all the way through if somebody wanted to. It's about an hour long. And the musical styles are fairly consistent. There's a couple moments that are a little different. But the spoken word pieces are really helpful, I think, because sometimes when a song just really takes you out, so to speak, and you're really upset and you need a moment, the spoken word yeah. pieces kind of give you a chance to breathe. Mm. And so there are like 10 or 11 songs and 10 or 11 spoken word pieces, you know, on the project until so like 20 yeah. or 21 pieces.
And I would assume,
and it ends with an instrumental marimba solo of It As Well With My Soul.
Wow.
And that sounds strange, but it is the most beautiful, unique thing. And I think people will really enjoy it.
Good.
That is so cool. You're just, wow. This is what it's like to walk in your destiny, to do what you're supposed to be doing. And
yeah.
You're, like you're not out there selling pool equipment or something.
I'm not a good salesman. My dad can sell ice Eskimos, and I, you know, just don't have that gift.
So are there any other components to the Dignity Project that you haven't mentioned yet?
Well, no, I guess I did mention it a moment ago, but I'll just reiterate that there is a book that we created, and each song has a story, you know, and it's not the story behind the song. It's a story that kind of mirrors the content of the song. And then all the lyrics are printed out. And I think especially if somebody is in like a caregiver support group, to be able to share the books and sit together and read the stories and discuss them together, you know, read the lyrics together and listen to the songs, I think it's a really nice thing to be able to do.
So you sound like you've been to some support groups, huh?
Yes, I think support groups are really, really invaluable.
Get some under your belt.
Yeah, for the reasons we've discussed. I mean, it just that sense of not being alone, hearing somebody else. As a matter of fact, I was going to say, hearing somebody else tell your story, but as a matter of fact, I had a friend call me yesterday and ask if we can write a song next week. His mom is in hospice, and he's already saying, I miss her, but she's not gone.
Right.
And so he and I are going to get together next week and work on that song. So something new around this whole topic.
Song.
Yeah, I thought so too. So, yeah.
So what does your wife think about all of this? I mean, when you first became a caregiver, not all spouses are very supportive, because a lot of times caregivers' time is away from the family, away from the wife, away from the kids, and you start getting some complaints, you know. He should be in a nursing home. How much time are you going to be away from your family? You know, we haven't been together or gone out in X number of weeks, and the kids need you, you know. They bring homework home every, you know. Does any of that happen with you guys?
Well, I think if I'm honest, there are moments, there are just moments in any relationship where this is upsetting. This is, I think, the thing that hurts my wife the most. My wife really loved my mom. And she has a sort of, this isn't fair. This isn't how it was supposed to be, you know. My parents were together for 71 years, so it's not like my mom got a raw deal or anything. But by the same token, it would really be great if she was still here. And, of course, in that cruel irony, my dad has Alzheimer's, but he runs a couple of miles every day still. He's completely physically fit. He's in better shape than I am. He's 89.
Wow.
89. My mom, on the other hand, her body betrayed her, but her mind was as sharp as a tack to the day she died. And you just look at that and you go, why? You can't help but ask why. You know, that's not a reason. That's not a question that you get, that's ever going to get answered on this side of heaven, but why? It just, sometimes you just want to say why. So I think that's what frustrates my wife the most. She's been very supportive, with the idea of keeping Dad in his home as long as possible because of the routine. And she knows how important the independence was to him. I mean, my dad has said his whole life that he exercised because he never wanted to be a burden. And here we are, and why is he a burden? Because he's in perfect physical health and his mind is going. Right. So you just, we don't get to choose that stuff. We just don't.
Is he cognizant enough to realize that he should be depressed?
No, well, that's one of the good things. I have to give my dad credit. He still says every day, life is so wonderful.
Okay.
And, you know, most of his life has been taken from him. He can't drive anymore, which drives him crazy. His life is slowly disappearing. What's beginning to scare me is he's starting to misremember the stories about Mom. Mm-hmm. And I figure that's a precursor to forgetting her altogether. So all of that's very, very hurtful. But I'll tell you, he is you know, you ask him, how you doing, Dad? So good, it's scary. Woke up breathing again today. I mean, he's still like that. And I realized that he could be other than that. So I'm grateful for his attitude, because I think it's, for me, it's been a real blessing that he's like that.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
The running brings up his endorphins, which make mm-hmm. him happier.
Yes, yes.
Melissa, we're going to take another break. When I get back, I want to ask you about your personal experience with burnout.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
And we're back with Steve Seiler and Adrian Gruberg, and I'm Dave Nassani. You're on the Caregiver Dave Show, and we're talking to Steve. Want to bring up the topic of burnout, right? Because it happens, and that's what you're trying to prevent. And when I asked you before if you went to caregiver support groups, and you said yes, and is that for your personal support to vent maybe the frustrations that you're going through, or do you always end up sharing and encouraging others with your project, or both?
Well, naturally, it's if I feel like something we have on the Dignity Songs and Stories for Caregivers project will help a caregiver, naturally I'm going to tell them about it. But no, it's for me. When I go to a support group, it's going to be because I need to hear from somebody else that I'm not doing it wrong, that it's going to be okay, you know, that it's all right to complain once in a while, it's all right to be worn out, you know, all the things that make us human, you know. I mean, it's a superhuman task that we're asked to perform as caregivers, and I don't even have Dad living with me. I know for those who have that experience, it's even harder. So, you know, I just feel like it gives us, support groups give us permission to be real about it, to just be honest about our feelings.
What was the worst symptoms or manifestations that burnout took on you when you first, maybe you didn't even know what it was when it happened until you, I didn't even know what a caregiver was when I was a caregiver. I had to learn the hard way.
I would say for me, impatience was what emerged, that I thought I should be nicer than this, but I'm just, because he was a great dad and he deserves my best and I just want to whack him, you know? So I think that's the number one symptom for me, is that short-temperedness and that impatience that just doesn't reflect how I feel about him at all.
And how long did it take you to realize that, hey, I've got a problem, what's going to fix this?
Oh gosh, I think I need to realize that again and again, Dave. I mean, I do much better now, but I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, that's solved. I would just say that I find that what I tend to do now is just try to smile first. Just try and smile and remember that I love my dad and that he was the best father a son could ever have asked for, and that he's not doing any of this on purpose. He's not doing this just to annoy me. And when I can remember that, I do better. And now some days I forget.
There's a book out there, and it's called, gosh, what's matter with this brain of mine? Moments, that it's called. Okay, let me do that. There's a book out there, and it's called Moments, and it just explains the dementia Alzheimer's thing in a way that caregivers need to hear it, because caregivers don't know how to handle dementia and Alzheimer's. You know, they get impatient and they get frustrated and they say, come on, Dad. And then they think that testing your loved one, you know, what's my name again? And what's your daughter's name? You know, that only frustrates them so much more. Remember, we had that poet on the show, Adrian, who had so many great poems about that.
Yes, and, it was wonderful.
Gosh, we need to hook you two up, because her poems are amazing, and I bet you anything you could put melody to them. She's from Hawaii, but she lives in Stockton, California now, I think. But basically, he says that this author, that caregiver, that dementia patients and Alzheimer's patients have moments. They may only have a 30-second moment. They may have a 5-minute moment. You know, think of that movie, The Notebook. remember she had a moment and they were dancing and everything was great and she was back and she remembered and then she said, why don't we get away? You know, let's just hop in a car and go somewhere. He said, oh no, I don't think that's a good idea. She said, oh come on, let's do it. And all of a sudden, boom, she was gone. He says, who are you? What are you doing here? What are you doing in my room? You know, and you have to learn to just appreciate the moments and encourage the moments because they calm a person down and maybe they'll be calm the rest of the day just because they had that moment with you where you were laughing over something funny that happened and then she was gone, you know, and she feels good because she had a moment. She doesn't even know why she felt good, but, you know, encourage the moments when they come and just let them go when they leave because you're only going to frustrate both of you. So
frequently the music brings on the moments.
Yeah. I always, toward the end when my mother was, you know, really bad with her dementia and she was in a, assisted living place, I would bring the headphones and the 40s and the 30s music and we would sing together kind of like karaoke. And it was one of the very few things we could still do together. And when it was time to leave, she had a smile on her face. She felt good. And I bet she didn't even know why she felt good, but appreciate those moments and don't put them through the third degree. I remember one of the poems of that poet I'm talking about. She had a thing in there and it said something like, oh, here comes the one who quizzes me all the time. So what did you eat? And did Sally come and visit you? And I don't know. Just go away. You know? Oh, here comes another one. I like that. And I'm going to hook you two up. So what I'd like to do now is play some music to hear, you know, just what it is you're doing because, you know, it's better felt than telt, as they say.
This dance we do, my arms around your waist, your hand on my shoulder. One, two, one, two. Bend, lift. This we do from bedroom to bathroom, wheelchair to toilet. We rise, turn, sink gently down. I'm gonna lose you, no matter how hard I try. You're gonna there's no way to get this right. And even if the care I give is the best that I can do, when your race is through, I'm gonna lose you.
Wow, was that amazing or what? So if people are interested in getting a copy of Dignity, Steve, how can they do it so they can hear this music and have it in their home, take it to their loved ones, etc.?
Well, we have a website, naturally. It's called Music for the Soul. And the easiest way for people to find the project is to go to a Google search and type the words Music for the Soul and then the word Dignity. They type those five words. It will come up page one, number one. And then they can just click on it and it will take them straight to the page. All of the songs can be listened to right there at the page. They stream, or they can download the project if they want to have the songs, you know, possess the songs. And of course, that's how we get paid. Or they can buy the project as a physical piece, which would then give them the devotional book that I talked about with the stories and the lyrics printed and the CD on the inside, and then they can play it on a CD player or load it into their own into their iPhone.
Thank you so much for coming on, and Adrian, thank you every week for coming on. You are at adrian@thecaregiverspace.org. That's your email.
Yes.
And your website is thecaregiverspace.org. And I'm at caregiverdave.com. And my Facebook page is Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. And
terrific. Well, it was nice to have this time with you. And Adrian, nice to meet you.
Likewise. God bless you.
Nice to meet you too.
Bye-bye. Steve.